here we are. We're back. Friends off podcast. I am friends off with this freaking podcast for real because it is the third time now that we are trying to record this episode, which was supposed to be a little recap of episode 3 of The Bachelorette Canada as experienced by Cole. Again, someone who is unfamiliar with this franchise is one of my good friends and has never seen my season. So it's been a real treat to go over it with Cole. It's been kind of fun. So I think we're just going to give a quick recap of episode 3, real quick. And Cole's just going to talk about his highlights, and then that's it. And we're going to move on. We're going to move on to questions from you guys that you sent me. So
yeah. I'm going to try to keep it to 5 minutes, including some really memorable quotes from
the episode. Not even five.
She's always trying to just rein me in.
This episode is cursed.
Canada wants to hear about this episode, and yes, it could potentially be cursed, but we're going to work through it. So here we go. The guys are in Jamaica.
We're in Jamaica.
Jamaica. There's a group date, and it includes dancing. Drew wins. Kill me now. Group date continues to a speakeasy that's not a speakeasy. It's most likely just a hotel bar. Dateless Dave can't seem to get a break. Drew doesn't get a kiss. Ha ha. Drew explains that he was engaged just 9 months ago, and Jasmine gets a little uncomfortable. Drew wins the rose at the group date and is super cocky about it. Kevin W. gets picked for the single date, gets rose, very cute. The guys are incredibly uncomfortable with Drew's behavior. Group date moves forward. Dave gets selected, but Chris doesn't get a second date at all this week. Sick Kev gets the one-on-one from the group date, but doesn't get a kiss. Ha ha. Cocktail party commences.
Why do you say ha ha?
And kisses her. Can you not interrupt me? Chris gets one-on-one time, no kiss, no surprise either. RP or TJ or whatever gets one-on-one time. Kevin W. steals time away from roseless guys and gets additional one-on-one time with her, creating a tumultuous environment. Two guys are sent off, one of which I had never seen before, good old Scotty boy, and JP, TJ, or RP. Cannot remember his name. Doesn't matter anymore. He is Gonzo. That is your recap for episode 3. It is cursed. Most likely, this audio will have been infected with some sort of internet virus that will prohibit us from ever posting it, but I tried to get through it as quickly as possible. Now, I am going to talk.
That was excellent.
Thank you. I'm
okay,
really,
but wait, can I cut you off for once? I'm so sorry.
All the wind out of my sails.
I'm paranoid, and I really need you to double check that your audio is not coming through your speakers, because it almost sounds like it might be, and I'm very scared.
Oh my gosh,
it is, isn't it?
Hold on, No, it's coming right through my mic.
Perfect. Yay. Yeah.
Okay, what's good?
We gotta do that mic test every time. Sorry to interrupt your flow. Go for it.
It's okay. Now what I'm going to do here is, hopefully within about 2 minutes or so, we're just going to go into some quotes, mostly from Drew, but these are going to be without any sort of context or anything. And honestly, they don't need context because they're pretty self-evident. Here we go. I'm here to win a girl. Next quote. I'm the most confident guy compared to the rest of the guys. Drew. I'm totally comfortable moving my body around. I walk the fine line between confident and cocky. I'm glad Jasmine is watching me move my body around. She needs to see what she's going to be working with for the rest of her life.
Why does he describe it as moving his body around? It's dancing. Why does he have to keep calling it that? It's so gross.
If she tells me what she wants, I can literally say, yes, I want that too. Yeah, my dance was a bit sexier than the other guys, so yeah, I hope she falls for it. I truly want to find out if she can steal my heart as much as I can steal hers. Now that you're kinda in love with me, here's my past. I was engaged 9 months ago.
Something that I should have considered more alarming than I did, I think.
Chris doesn't fit the mold of anybody. I mean, he's different than me.
Oh, God.
Shh. Okay, I have to weed out some of these because they are just brutal. Okay, here's another quote from Chris. I'm hanging on by a thread, but then again, so do spiders, and that's when they do some of their best work.
That is a quote that I would like on a bumper sticker tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're a cat lady 30 years from now, we will put that bumper sticker on your car because it is incredibly sad. And those are our quotes from episode 3. It's pretty much all you need to know about it. It gets a little heated between Chris, the inventor, and Drew.
The 80s bully.
Yeah. And, you know, it's what you would expect it to be. But, you know, more so, it's just all around good fun with all the dudes. The people that should be eliminated are eliminated. And that is your episode 3 recap.
Great. Also, you're missing a very important part, which is that I finally have a good kiss after my disastrous kiss with Seth. I think that the funny thing, here's Cole's experience watching the show. And
you
listen,
had a good kiss with Thomas, episode 1. Shut up.
Yeah, it wasn't episode the 2, same. Sorry, wasn't the same. Here's the thing.
We're kissing in the water. Pretty sweet. I don't know. Pretty sweet.
This is the disconnect between Cole as a straight man and, I guess, probably women watching.
And as a straight man, I would say I'm incredibly disconnected.
With that part, yeah. All right, next. What's next on the agenda here?
I gotta throat this water.
Ugh. Why is that such a big water bottle? You don't need that much water. No one does.
That's how much I hydrate.
I'm going
to. We should do a water drink off.
Oh, with my nip?
Yeah, you said you could drink out of your nip quicker than I could drink out of my wide mouth Nalgene.
And that's true. I stand by that.
No, we will measure. We'll measure the milliliters, and I will drink this before you can drink your full nip.
I can't wait for that. Let's do it at the end of the show. Super. All right, so we're going to go through some questions from you guys, and I'm going to send them to Cole so that he can pick and choose. Hopefully he's not spoiled through this.
What is the opposite of a country sweetheart?
A city slicker.
That is, okay, you're kind of right.
Why are you asking me that?
Because that's what I'm going to be known as. On this.
Okay.
There's like Canada's sweetheart, then there's America's dumbass.
Yeah, like an obnoxious American. That's it's not like it's a unusual expectation. All right, I've got a lot of questions here, so I'm gonna send them your way.
Okay, let's start cruising through these. We got some questions here for Jasmine, maybe a few for me, most likely not, but let's get it going. First question, who from your season would you recommend as the next Bachelor?
Oh, it's the next Bachelor. I mean, it would have been Mikkel, but he was supposed to be the next Bachelor, and he didn't want to do it. And yes, I would have thought that he'd make the best Bachelor, but I also, like, no part of me wanted to see that. So I'm secretly and selfishly glad that that didn't happen. That's all.
Okay. All right, that's a really good answer to that. Okay, how does the confidentiality work? Who were you allowed to talk to prior to episodes airing?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone. There was a clause in our contract, basically, that if we spoiled it, we could be sued for $5 million. So
that's 5 million Canadian for our American listeners, which equates to about 30 grand. So okay. Not too much of a hit.
Right. So I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody, but of course I would talk to some of my close friends. Like before I went on the show, I didn't tell anyone except for my mom, my sister. None of the rest of my family knew. I just was gone for 2 months and that was it.
Okay. Did you do your own hair and makeup for each episode?
Yes, I did. I did do that because I hate when people do my hair and makeup. I just don't feel like myself. I had Jessica, who's my makeup artist there, and she would just do little touch-ups and stuff. But it's part of my morning ritual. It is what makes me feel ready for the day. And I just wanted to do it myself. So I would do it in the morning. Jessica would touch it up throughout the day. And hair, I just did myself.
Were you or the guys allowed to talk to anyone in the outside world during filming?
No, absolutely not, unless they got special privileges. I was not allowed to talk to anybody. And even at the end of the season, when we were in Cuba, my mom and my sister and my friend Laura Lee were there. They were at a totally different resort, and I wasn't even allowed to see them or talk to them outside of when I actually saw them in real life. So they were at the resort, I think, like 3 days before I actually saw them. They were at in Cuba, and I didn't get to see them, but I just knew they were there. After like 2 months of not speaking to them, it was really hard. But yeah, no, you're not allowed to talk to anyone. You're not allowed to see anyone. You're not allowed to read a book. You're not allowed to watch a television, and you're not allowed to even listen to music. So it is designed for you to go a little bit mental.
We were talking about this earlier. It's almost boring you into a love situation. Because there's nothing else to focus on. The thing is that seems like the events that happen in the episodes, boom, 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 they happen. But they're there for a week and like three things happen, like three dates. So there's days between each thing. Like these guys are just chill. They can't even read a book.
It's so true.
They're just vibing.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I think they were so bored. At least I was very busy. Like, I was always, always, always doing something for all, it felt like a million hours of the day. But a lot of times they were just waiting for days. So then when they actually got to see you, they were so excited and they really wanted to go on these dates. That's why Dateless Dave was having such a panic attack, because he was probably bored out of his mind. Do I think he actually liked me? No. I think he just was like, get me the frick out of here.
Okay, next question. Do you have any contact with the men's of your season?
Yeah, Kevin P., Benoit. But no, a lot of, and the question that I often get is, do I still talk to Mikkel? And I don't, because, he has been, I mean, giving all the spoilers to Cole now, but he's been in a serious relationship for,
guess
since
I'll
the
go
season
fuck
ended,
myself.
Essentially. Sorry about it. So yeah, but no.
I'll have you know, I was right immediately. So it's either way.
Okay. Anyway.
Can you eat the food?
Heck no, 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 you cannot. So it was kind of sad because you'd be sitting there with like a lobster in front of you and you wouldn't be able to eat it. Sometimes you would, I think maybe sometimes we would eat it after, like once we were done and we were allowed. But I don't really remember that ever happening. I feel like all I ate was like Kind bars and all of the snacks that were provided for the crew. I felt like just between running around, I would eat random snacks, and that was like my diet.
Jeez Louise! No wonder everyone. I
don't remember ever. I don't remember ever having like a full meal.
That's so shitty for 2 months.
That must be inaccurate. But I seriously feel like I don't remember having a full meal. It's not like I ever got to like have dinner. Actually, when we were in Morocco, I got snuck out for a shawarma.
Ooh, that's lit. I love me some schwarm. That was Deanna and I's first meal together. Remember?
Cute.
Yeah.
Aww.
Are you pals with lots of people from Batch Nation USA? Like who?
I guess like acquaintances and stuff. I'm good friends with Charlene. She's Canadian, but technically Batch USA. Caitlin. But like, I feel like mostly other than Charlene, it's just like acquaintances, I think. So I don't know if I would be like, yeah, these are my friends.
Okay. I'm glad there's no spoilers on this question, but after you and Kevin broke up, did you ever think of reaching out to the runner up? Why or why not?
I mean, we definitely, it's not like we didn't talk direct. There were 6 months that went between like when the season wrapped and when everything actually aired. So we had to wait months and then actually go on TV and record the After the Final Rose. Like it wasn't like we did get to break ties at all. Like it was very unhealthy. It was very unhealthy. So Yeah, it was a whole dramatic mess. I will say that like, what was supposed to be a really happy time for me was probably one of the most depressed times of my life. I'm not even trying to make light of that, because depression is no joke, but I was not in a good place, even though I was supposed to be happy.
Oh, that's a good answer. This is getting wild. Okay, so
ready.
I knew a guy who, by small town association, who somehow made it in your season. He was such a creep and totally full of shit. You sent him home night one, and he got zero airtime. In that environment, how did you weed out the creeps? Feel like it would be harder to spot them quickly in an environment that's designed for romanticizing douchebags.
Wow, that is so incredibly accurate. I feel like I did have a hard time identifying creeps. And it's like, yeah, it is sort of an environment that romanticizes everything. And then also they get such a small amount of time with you that they can really show you any part of themselves within that little window that you have. So I felt like I had a good finger on the pulse in terms of who was a douchebag and who wasn't, but I also was giving people the benefit of the doubt a lot, and I was being a little too forgiving in some situations.
I would describe you as a little too forgiving. All right, let's move on.
You hate Drew. You just can't. You're never going to forgive me. This is 5 years ago, and I think I'm never... You just found out about it, and I'm never going to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you're a different person on camera?
I don't think so. I don't think that I was a different person on camera. I didn't really feel a lot of pressure. I didn't feel that I was on camera, even though I knew that I was. It was hard for me to actually wrap my head around the fact that I was going to be on TV. I felt also like the producers edited it in a way that felt genuine. I will say that a lot of the American versions of the show, I find that they really kind of like edit the lead to be so boring. Like Matt James is like the super cool skateboarder guy. Yet, what did I learn about him on The Bachelor last season? Like, they couldn't have edited him to be more boring. And I feel like that's going to happen this season coming up with Katie. She seems like a pretty interesting girl, but all of her promo stuff is like, why are they doing this to you? So anyways, all this to say, I feel like the Canadian producers were also kind of aware that the US version did that and made it a point to include things that might otherwise be shown in bloopers. Also, it was the first time that any of the audience was getting to know me, so they had to include a little bit more about me. So I felt like they did a good job, and I felt like I was myself. And like Cole had said at the beginning, it's almost like a refined version of me. Mm-hmm. They didn't include every single thing, and
that would be too
I still
much.
Had... yeah. Yeah. But there were a couple times where I became resentful of the producers. Like, it was such an emotional ride for me. And there were times where I was like I started pushing back a little bit. And that was probably not the version of me that most people saw, because they wouldn't have included that. But yeah, had my moments.
Everyone is asking about food on the show. Part of the show is that they don't eat the whole time. They're all suffering from starvation, and they have to make flash decisions, and if they get picked the rose, they get to eat that day.
Yeah. While we're recording, no, we don't eat. It's just like, we can't, because they need to record us and we need to be talking. They're not going to show us chewing food. I don't know.
And either,
and you know what, maybe
I
was going to say, maybe it has to do, this is just my assumption or theory, maybe it has to do with continuity, because if, let's say, you have a muffin in front of you and you've taken 3 bites out of it, and then they want to take footage from 3 bites earlier, then all of a sudden your muffin is whole again, you know, because they do kind of piece your conversation together a little bit sometimes. That could be part of it.
I would have to say it's more unsettling for me for you to go on a date and there's this beautiful plated little dish of chocolates, like different truffles or something delicious, and they just sit there and you guys just drink champagne and kiss, and then you're like, all right, let's go. And it's just like these chocolates are just sitting there. I'm like, what's going on with these chocolates? And you can just tell the guy's like, I haven't eaten in 3 days, but yeah, let's kiss. This is good. I like this.
You know what, Cole? That's why there's so many questions about it, because it's unsettling for everyone.
Okay. Next question. How does Cole not know who you ended up with? I don't
know this either. I think that he's fibbing.
I actually, up until, okay, essentially, your guys' questions have ruined it for me. I honestly did not know before that, and I was trying to, with each episode, I just didn't want it to get too recappy. I more wanted to get into the juicy details of each episode as I watch them, and I try to watch them. I watch an episode, then we do a podcast, watch an episode, do a podcast, so I don't know what happens in the next podcast before it, but honestly, Jasmine and I just never, we talked about it on a trip in Pemberton, out in the middle of absolutely nowhere on the last day we were there. I remember chilling on that deck when you had that hole in your jeans that was shaped like a penis and you got a sunburn on your thigh and you were like,
by the way, that hole has ripped.
I'm going to send you a picture later. I think I have it like in my text with the text below it. It's like, here's my leg penis or something. But we were chatting up there, drinking nudes, hanging out, having a good time, getting a good buzz on. And I think we kind of talked about it, but we literally talked about it for maybe 5 minutes. And I was like, cool. Because I just don't,
I know.
Not a part of my life. So I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, and you didn't really seem like, come on, ask me about it. So it never came up, I guess.
I know. Like, I have no problem talking about it, but I feel like people feel uncomfortable asking me because they might assume that I don't want to talk about it. And I don't want to assume that people give a shit. So I'm not going to be like, hey, did this thing. This is what happened. Oh my God. Because if I were to talk about it, it would go on for hours. There's so much to tell. So I rarely actually get into it with people that I just meet.
Sure.
Unless they ask.
Is this a Canadian trend? Guys rolling up their pant legs, asking from California. I'll respond to this. No, that is.
They did roll them up pretty high.
Okay,
they looked a little Pinocchio-y.
They looked a little like pantaloons. Drew was wearing it wrong.
It was a little weird. I mean, it was hot, but
he wore a suit that ended at his shin.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was like most of them. A lot of them were like that. I remember when the season was airing and so many people were like, why are they all wearing their pants like that? It was like a whole thing. Oh my God.
I know you were a hairstylist at the time. What was it like going back to work after the show?
Oh, totally fine. I was living in Whistler. Well, I was living in Pemberton working in Whistler. And up there, no one, I don't think, watches reality TV. And I felt very anonymous. And that was probably something that kept me sane. Because at the time, I don't think I realized what it was. But I was dealing with some serious anxiety. Just seeing everyone's, I guess, like, opinion on my life, and feel like people were very invested in the show. And so it would be all over social media, on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And I couldn't escape it on the internet, but I didn't ever have to deal with it in real life. And unless I was in an airport, because I had to travel to Toronto a lot during that time. So when I was in Toronto or I was traveling in the airport and stuff, I would meet people who knew who I was, which was odd. But when I was at home and working and stuff, it was very rare for me to encounter people who actually knew who I was. Everyone was from Australia and they gave no shits. I feel like it kept me sane.
Speaking of the guys and dealing with them having gained notoriety through the show, I have heard that Drew has racked up tens of thousands of dollars in car damage from his car being egged, and medical
Are
bills
you joking?
From
You're
being
lying.
Struck in the gonads just on walks or about town. I've just heard this through the grapevine.
Wow, his car was pummeled so hard by eggs that it racked up tens of thousands of dollars?
No, eggs. So the protein in eggs actually adhere to the car's paint, and it like
Is
fucks
this a
up
lie?
The paint. No, and the eggs, if crack, they scratch paint. And so you have to, like, sometimes you can buff it out, but if you don't see it until morning, it can, like, fuck up your car. Yeah, it's, like, not good for
this
it.
This didn't happen to Drew.
No, I'm lying about all that, but I'm just,
oh,
I'm explaining that eggs
God,
can damage
your car.
Oh, my
God, I was like, that's insane.
That would be really great. I would have texted you and been like, oh, Drew's hated by the whole country. That's great. all right, we've got two questions kind of for me, which is, this is fun. Who is the woman Cole mentions, his wife / girlfriend? She is my girlfriend. Her name is Deanna. She is a Batch Nation fan. She likes
is she?
To... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fun. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think Deanna and Jasmine would be really, really good friends. And I think Eric and I are already best friends. We just don't know it yet. So, you know, she's fucking rad. She is just the light of my life.
Aw, I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, it's going to be a dream. And then the next question is, how did you two meet? You can provide some context, but
okay.
I will tell the story. So, I am and was a photographer, And this was 2 or 3 years ago or something like that. And it was sometime in the winter. And my buddy, who is also a photographer, said he wanted to do a trip up to Whistler. And so he bought an Airbnb. The models bailed last minute. And while we're driving up there, my friend was like, oh, I'm going to just message any models I know in the Whistler area. And he just so happened to message you, and I had no idea.
So I wasn't even the first choice. I was just among the choices.
You were the backup.
Wow. Yeah.
So he randomly messaged you, and like an hour later, you replied to him, which was crazy because, you know, on Instagram, he's like 2,000 followers, like a small photographer from Seattle, and you were like blue checkmarked from Canada, like, you know, big dickin' out there. And so he was like, holy shit. He was like, Jasmine Lorimer responded. And I was like, who is that? And he goes, she's like the model. She was on Bachelorette. Like, she's like this big deal up in Whistler. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, looking at photos. I was like, oh, wow. She like does stuff that we do. This will be great. She likes to go outside and shoot this stuff. So we went up there and we met up and we shot an ad for a pizza company in the snow.
Yes. An outdoor snowy pizza picnic. I don't know what was going through my
mind.
Those
photos are actually.
But you know what? I love those pictures. Oh my god!
And we just shot around Whistler and like kind of the back side of it, like the residential areas of Whistler. And we just talked and kind of hit it off right away. And we didn't ever see each other for like probably another 9 months. I kept trying to plan stuff, but we were both so busy. And randomly, you hit me up. I would say conservatively 4 days before its launch. You were like, do you want to fly in a helicopter to me to a backcountry resort in the mountains of Canada this summer? Actually, in like 4 days, as I need a photographer. I was like, what's going on? So I like text my work. I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to be there. And I just drove up and did this whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, so exciting. And that's honestly.
As a reminder, Cole lives in Seattle. So it would have been 3-4 hours drive, maybe. Yeah. It's not too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And that trip is when we became good friends. We're just really fast friends. And it's a kind of a similar to bachelorette situation in which you're up at this remote resort, and so all you have to do is like all you can do is like talk to each other and like do
yeah like
shit.
We didn't want to be friends, but like that was the only option. And yeah. Cole is basically saying that he was bored into being my friend. Yeah,
this is accurate. Jasmine, do you have any context to add to this?
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it went. And when we were up at that resort, I remember just like the laughs. Like Cole and I would edit photos. So we were shooting for this resort up in the mountains called White Cabin. It's this awesome like backcountry place. And so we were having to provide photos and such. And so in the evening, I mean, we'd go hiking and do all this fun stuff all day. And then in the evening, we'd come back and shoot photos. And we would just like, okay, this is a thing that like, I feel like people don't understand is that 99.99999% of the photos of me are so awful. Like, and I'm not just saying that as like it is in a self-critical kind of way. Like, I have the most awkward and weird and disgusting faces.
Jasmine, you're being a little hard on yourself.
No,
yes,
no, no. They're
your
so
your face is disgusting, but we don't need to dwell or like really talk about it too much.
Okay, well, all I'm saying is that we would look through these photos and we would just like kill ourselves laughing. I don't know, like Cole would say funny things about what I looked like and I would laugh and we would laugh. So we had a really fun time. And then after that, it was like, well, obviously we're going to go and like do all these trips together all the time. So we started and then the pandy happened. Like we went on a road trip to California, Oregon, and that was really fun.
But, I would say yeah. Half that.
Half was fun?
No. The whole trip. Okay, Jasmine, I don't want to get into another fight, but I would say half the trip was really fun. The other half was just like sitting in a car and it's fucking raining because I just didn't do research on locations.
Oh, yeah.
I remember talking to me like, why did we make this trip so long? We could have just stuck to like the Oregon coast or something, but we almost followed. We were like storm trackers. We were just following a coastal storm. We're like, why is the weather so bad? And I remember looking at the forecast, and it was like a fucking hurricane just sliding down the coast. I was like, we better follow it. And it was just terrible weather about 90% of the time. We had
think that maybe Cole remembers this a little differently because as a photographer, he like wanted to capture stuff. And I was kind of just like keen on doing the trip. Like I didn't have any expectations, so I didn't feel disappointed in that way. And we had fun and we found footlong meat sticks at a random gas station. Right. And that was cool. There were so many flavors.
No, it was a 3 foot long.
Oh
yeah, it was 36 inches of meat, and it's not. And when you're
but it was like skinny.
But it was skinny. It was like a pipe cleaner, and she eats just the tip of it, and then she goes, "I don't want this."
No, I'm pretty sure that we ate. No, did I?
It was one of, like when I think back, I wish I had a journal because there's so many little funny things that have happened. But that is a hilarious joke. You buying a 3 foot long meat stick. Eating less than 2% of it, going, I don't want this. I remember it sitting in the car, and I remember we got gas, and I picked it up and threw it away in the trash, and it was hard to fit in because it's so long.
Oh my God.
That was good. But yeah, that's how we know each other. I tried to make it short, but that's just the way it is.
I hope you got something out of this, and we'll be back with a proper episode next time.
Yes.
And so thank you. Hey, leave us a review.
Leave us a five-star review. Make it nice. Say something nice about
If we sound desperate, it's because we are.
Yes. Just leave us a review. Give it a listen. Listen passively. Do this and that. Subscribe to the podcast as well. It just helps us grow.
Yeah, that's important.
And it helps us kind of move this along because the podcasts are going to get better and better, but we need that kind of push. We need that support, guys.
Totally. We have big plans, and it will really help to make these 4 wasted hours that we spent recording the other podcasts worth it. So any support is great. Please subscribe. That would be the ultimate gift. We love you.
You guys are awesome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.